This is the National Public Broadcast of Imam W.B. Muhammad, American Society of Muslim Leaders.
The son of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable Imam Wallace D. Muhammad.
Praise be to Allah, we thank you. Allahu Akbar. We praise God. We say God is the greatest, that God is greater than everything when we say Allahu Akbar. Yes. Let me first acknowledge that it is God's will that we be here. And if it were not his will, we wouldn't be here. And we owe him the praise and the thanks for this day and everything. And we witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is our leader, the prophet, last prophet God sent to the world, and his servant and his messenger. And we salute him with the traditional salute, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, prayers and peace be upon him. Our greetings is peace. Assalamu alaikum to you again. Yes. Here at the Apollo Theater, a lot of thoughts come to my mind. I'm seeing the one who gong, you know, and I'm seeing all that activity. Yes, I hope they are not here today. I don't want them gonging me. And it comes to my mind the history here in this area, right here in Harlem. You know, we have great history in Harlem. Adam Clayton Powell, still a teenager, a young man, and living in Chicago, Illinois, but we couldn't help but be aware of Adam Clayton Powell's leadership. And when he was hurt by anything, the criticism of him, it hurt us too. And also Percy Sutton, who brought this place back to life, he and his children, his family, they come to my mind. And Congressman Rangel, they followed one another, you know, and kept this city in Harlem with excellent leadership. So we're aware of all of that. And I'm aware, too, that what has brought me to be the leader I am is something Honorable Elijah Muhammad used to say very often when in his ministry, in the early days of his ministry. He used to say, before he would begin preaching, he would say to the people, the audience, Islam is freedom and equality. And a little boy, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, and then a teenager, hearing that, heard it first from his preachers. And then when I was about 14, I would be in the audience and I would hear him saying it. And that's what I think went into my life, into my soul, and kept me very serious-minded. I always would listen very carefully to anyone preaching. It wouldn't have to be my father, but anyone preaching his teachings, I would give them my attention even as a child and listen to them very carefully. I took it very serious and had great respect for the teachings of my father and those he taught. And I'm convinced of their sincerity, and I'm convinced that God was in their work. Yes. And I'm convinced also that the leaders in the history of the African-American people that are Christians, and that's the great majority, that your leaders, too, have had help from God, and God has been in that work. And I think God stayed with us until we started going after the dollar and forgetting God. But as long as we were trying to be the best human beings we could be and respecting sacred matters, God was with us. He's still with a few of us, but I think he has left most of us. We're on our own. And that's too bad. But don't feel discouraged, because never in the history of a people were there big numbers responsible for leading them. Always a few. Always a few. And really, the followers of those few were always few in number, too, in comparison to the majority of the people. So it doesn't take a lot of people to keep the life and preserve the life of a people, the lifeline of a people, the healthy, productive lifeline of a people. It only takes a few. And I'm glad that Muslims are being numbered now, not as people in some kind of envious or jealous or arrogant competition with Christian leaders, but as friends of good Christians. And we're together in this great work, and I'm happy about that. We have had an identity problem, and I think most of us still don't have a comparable, I would say, identity, or a comparable picture of self-worth. Self-worth. Not as individuals, because as individuals we have great success. President Bush, he has Colin Powell with him as Secretary of State, a great important position. But I, along with many other religious leaders and government leaders, government figures, believe that Colin Powell is the most qualified man now available to us to lead this government. Whether it will happen or not, we don't know. But we do feel he's the most qualified leader for the American people, Colin Powell. And that says a lot for people who just a little over 100 years ago did not even have freedom in this country. That says a lot. We have made great strides, and we have proven ourselves. We have proven our value as human beings in spite of the conditions designed to destroy our humanity or to destroy our human qualities. We have survived. And I was saying to someone just here a few, well, it's been about a half an hour ago maybe, that bad circumstances can be so terrible, they can destroy you, make you a terrible person, make you a terrible person. But if you can survive those circumstances, it can make you a superhuman, at least in your soul, a superhuman. And I do believe that the bad circumstances in the history of African-American people have made some of us in our souls superhuman. Superhuman. Yes, superhuman. And let me get to our subject now, the subject New Africa. This is an expression that our business people grab, New Africa, and they have opened businesses in that name. New Africa this, New Africa that. But it's not limited to that expression. It's not limited to just the business life. That expression, as we understand it in our circle here, carries the meaning of the whole life. We believe that, like other people who are called or who has, pardon me, called the area that they chose to live in New Funland, New England, this whole area in the east, east north, in the northeast area, New England, Newark, New Jersey, near us, and New York, where we are right now, New York. York was in Europe, and still in Europe, but the people who came here, they wanted to bring their life from that land across the water to this land here, and they wanted it to be their life. So they named it New York, New York, so that they would have an identity with their past life, and it would say to them and to others that we want our life to begin here again, have a new start for our life. And I think more of our leaders will welcome the expression New Africa as they begin to feel or understand why some of us like that expression, New Africa. For us, it means a new start here. We lost Africa, but we can have a new start here. We can have a new Africa here. And I'm sure New York here is better than New York across the ocean. And I hope that New Africa will be better than Africa across the ocean. Because right now, Africa across the ocean is in a terrible mess. And it's not the fault of the white man right now. At one turn in our history, it was the fault of white people. It includes Arabs, Muslims, who went over there and left good influences and bad influences, left help and hurt on the African people. But now it's no more the fault of anybody but the African people, because they are not in bondage to anybody. They are not colonies of other powers. So the fault is theirs. And they have gone after the right thing, after the wrong thing, pardon me. They have gone after the wrong thing, after trying to pursue excellence for their life. They have gone after the wrong thing, as we have gone after the wrong thing, after we got equal opportunity in this country, laws passed to protect our citizenship and our rights to citizenship. We started celebrating, having a good time, playing, laughing, dancing, getting high, and we forgot what God has done for us over all these many generations. God has permitted us to be used and abused more than any other soul of the human being. God has permitted the soul of the African people, African American people, or the African people, to be used and abused. But the God that permits that is obligated to do justice by everything. So in the measure that He has allowed us to be deprived, He must award us, and at least that measure, or greater. So when we look at the sad history, those sad turns of events in our life, beginning with the first one, putting us upon slave ships and bringing us here to be slaves as property of others, and following that, at the terrible events in our life, when we look at those events and see the damage to our psyche, the damage to our life as human beings, and the threat to our future as human beings, when we see that and realize that we have overcome that, we're still here, we're still human, and we're still performing excellence in a very excellent way, men and women, that says to us that God has not yet finished rewarding us. God is not through with us. Freedom and equal opportunity here, that's just the necessary situation or the necessary condition for us to begin doing what God has formed us for. And I say formed us. We are no more Africans like the Africans of the continent of motherland, Africa. We are a new people. We have a new mind. We have new spirit. We have new sensitivities as a people. We have a brand new ethos as a race. So we are different. We are different. We are different in the abstract picture, and we are different in the physical picture. We are not abstractly the same. That is, our mentality is different, spirit different, sensitivity is different, aspirations different, humor different. We are not Africans anymore of the motherland. We are Africans of this land. New Africans. New Africa. Yes, this is a fact. Praise be to Allah. So God has formed us a new people. Have patience with me as I proceed with this. Recently, in the African American neighborhood, some of our businessmen, inventors, business people introduced this language, New Africa. For some of us now, Africa means more than a new page in black history or a new page in African American history. For our business life, New Africa says, for some of us, what New York, New England, New Mexico say to insightful minds of the people of America. Bad circumstances have forced change in people. That's for their geography also. And in the way they view themselves and others, the way they view their life as a people. Most often in the history, it has not been large numbers pressing for change, pressing to get rid of the adverse effects on their lives that are caused by circumstances. Small numbers have been pressing for change. I can recall leaders that I know have helped us to stay in touch with our lifeline as a people, and has helped us to make great progress. Benjamin E. Mays and many others, not to mention the government people and other religious leaders and others in education, they have all served to protect our lifeline as human beings, not as people in the culture of the African people, because we were separated from that culture, but as human beings. So this talk or delivery that we are making now is not about small matters. It is about major turns of events in the life of a people. This people, our people, African Americans. New powers spreading their influence and changing the world for other nations. Christians and Muslim powers left their health and also their hurt on the dark continent. And I got the dark continent in quotes. It didn't come from us, it came from them. Called Africa the dark continent. Not by choice. And by choice, America's population of African Americans, or those of African origin, are not in the life of that continent. Adverse circumstances did not leave a way open for life from Africa to be cultivated and established in America. This freedom that the natural world inspired in a people was not ours to have. For any intelligent student of divine intervention, divine intervention explains the enemy of natural causes and effects and the encounters in our history. The sacred ram in the scriptures of the Christians, and I think in ours too if we understand it, the sacred ram. Now here is the ram. A ram is the male. This here is a ram. The ram is a sheep. Sheep. And sheep are peaceable. But here is a ram in the final days. Leading an army in the war against evil. I understand that to mean peace-loving souls, the peace-loving soul of human beings will one day have to fight for peace. We think of fighting some all the time, war, jihad, in the physical sense, metal, weapons of metal, swords, iron, etc., guns maybe now. Muhammad the Prophet wanted us to see a greater war and a more human war. When he said, quote, the ink of the scholar is more precious than the blood of the martyr. I have come to see and understand that the great war to be fought that's going to bring about the conclusion of the matter, great matters, great issues in the life of humanity, one being, what is the worth of a human being? The human being as God created him, before he comes to know his environment and begin to be educated in his environment, before the material world is studied by him and he begins to benefit from the knowledge he gained in a material world. What is his value just as a soul or as a human person? Why is it a great issue? It is a great issue because those who achieve status and great worth, money with their wealth, and with their weapons of war, etc., they look down on the common person, and they rejected the common person as having any great value in the building of society. They thought him to be something worthy to employ, to be employed by the rich as a slave, as a servant. And slavery, as you know, it prevailed, it existed, it continued to exist until recently in our history. Slavery is now abolished by all civilized societies or nations. They have abolished slavery, and if slavery is going on in any of those so-called civilized land is kept secret or is not, they don't want it to be known in the world, to the world. They are ashamed of it. That's what I'm saying. They are ashamed of it. It has been abolished. Color consciousness and the belief that a black man is inferior to a white man, look how long it lasted, but it's gone. It's gone. No one wants to publish that. Or no, have it known that they are publishing such ideas now, because it is very unpopular. They are ashamed to admit such. This is a new time that we're living in, but these are great issues for the history of life or the soul of mankind in its effort to establish the best human life and the best human society. These are the great issues. The value of women now finally coming to the forefront. And women finally getting their respect. All of this, to me, it says that we're living in the final days. We're living in the final days, the end of time. Not the end of time for the world, but the end of time for the troubles in the world. For the troubles that were not justified by nature. The natural life did not support those things. They were enemies of the natural life, and they have to be done away with. I have come to believe that these very unnatural and cruel events in our history were permitted by God to awaken in our soul a desire to be His helper, to bring mankind, the whole humanity, to where God wants it to be. I believe as God prepared individuals, some females, like Mary, the mother of Christ Jesus, peace be upon them, like the mother of Moses, peace be upon her, but mostly like what I have in mind are those prophets from Noah till the last, how he worked with individuals, and he was their company, he was their friend, and he worked with them to help them in the world of their time, or in the circumstances of their time. I believe that just as God has worked with individuals, God also works with people. Not individually, but with the whole people. With the whole people. And God permits that some whole society or people in numbers, in big numbers, be subjected to a horrible existence so that they will be formed anew, a people. So misery, rejection, social rejection, misery, being put down, has been a pressure upon our souls that has pressed out the best.
For more on the ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad, call our right, Ministry of W.D. Muhammad, 1-708-798-6750. All right, Ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Jones, he's local distributor. And thanks for listening.